Buffalo Bills Game Day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Here's Nate Geary.
Good evening, Bills fans, and feeling good, I'm sure. Welcome in, everybody. Nate Geary here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills get a blowout victory on the road on a Thursday night in primetime, 31-10 over the Miami Dolphins. Before we dive in to all of this, just wanted to mention thinking of and hoping everything with Tua Tagovailoa. Hopefully he walks out of this thing no worse for the wear. A scary hit that, frankly, he initiated on DeMar Hamlin late in the third quarter and clearly concussed, clearly not in a good place when he walked off the field. So thinking about that, thinking about Tua, and hoping and wishing for a speedy recovery for the Dolphins quarterback. The Dolphins now move to 1-1 on the season with some, I think, pretty uncertain futures here, or at least the next couple of weeks, with Tua potentially missing, I would guess, at least a couple of weeks based on the way and the severity of that injury. Skylar Thompson came in. He went 8 of 14 for 80 yards in this game, but did not inspire a whole bunch of confidence. Not that I think a lot of teams have quarterbacks that would come in, their backup quarterback comes in, and that they would inspire a lot of confidence. But Devon Achane certainly played a pretty darn game. I can't believe how late they left him in this game. He went 22 for 96 on the ground, but also led the team in catches as well. He went 7 for 69 in a score in this game for those keeping track at home. But let's switch back to the good guys, the Bills in this game, who really from the first whistle dominated the Miami Dolphins. And stop me if you've heard this before. The Bills are a better football team. They're more physical. They're better coached. They have the better quarterback. And they just outperformed this Miami Dolphins team on the road in the Dolphins stadium. Tyreek Hill and Chris Brown there mentioned at the end of the broadcast, which I think is a pretty damn remarkable stat. Since Tyreek Hill was traded to the Miami Dolphins, he's been wearing a Miami Dolphins uniform. His longest reception against the Bills has been 23 yards. The Bills just have his number. Sean McDermott has his number. And all in all, the Bills just dominated, outclassed, outperformed this Miami Dolphins football team. So the Bills get to 2-0. They've got Jacksonville a little over a week or a week and a half or so from now. A couple of guys that I wanted to talk about in this game, not named, Josh Allen, because, Josh finishes 13-19 for 139 yards and a score. Does not have an interception on the season, by the way. That's me knocking on wood. Through two games this year, zero picks. He had three interceptions in the first game last year. So a much cleaner, stronger start to the season for Allen in this offense. I don't know. The conversation about wide receivers feels a little overblown to me now. I would lie to you if I wasn't one of the guys leading the charge on this conversation about the wide receivers. It has not even been a topic of discussion. It's been an afterthought for everything the Bills that they've done well. And they've obviously dealing with a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Terrell Bernard goes out with a pec injury, does not return in this game. That will be something to monitor moving forward. But Baylen Spector stepped in and played a heck of a football game. Another fantastic game from Cam Lewis, who just is... He just does the job. He just does his work. He's always in the right position to make the play and has another great game. Jamarcus Ingram, two interceptions, including a pick six touchdown in this game. Just remarkable from the both UB products in this game. Great games from each guy. Christian Benford, I'm going to keep maybe, blowing though. I'm going to be the conductor of the Christian Benford hype train because he is just piecing together what is an ascension into, I think, the category of one of the best zone corners in all of football. Talked to Sal Capaccio at halftime and mentioned that as much. And, he sort of mentioned being glad that this game was in prime time so that everyone can sort of see what it's going to look like for Christian Benford here moving forward. He looks primed for an absolute breakout season the same way that Gregor Rousseau is, who had another good game tonight. Von Miller with a sack. So a lot of good stuff happening on the defensive side of the ball considering the injuries. I think you got to really like what you saw from the Bills defensively. Bobby Babbage, Sean McDermott, just have these guys ready to go against the Dolphins every time they line up against the Miami Dolphins. 803-0550-1-888-550-2550, the numbers to call as we wait for Sean McDermott to get to the podium. It's time now to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Andrew, who's been waiting patiently. Andrew, you are on the postgame show. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for taking my call tonight. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Hey, so just wanted to talk about the defense. A lot of questions coming into today's game. I was very worried, to be honest, with how they were going to perform, and then especially with Bernard going out early, but I got to say, they came through. They looked really good. And to get that win in such a convincing fashion, like, what's your take on that? I think we're in a really good spot going forward, and I think we should be excited about this team.
100%. 100%, Andrew. I'm going to let you finish. I just wanted to back up your point about the defense in this game, because when you look at the stat sheet, Andrew, you're going to think to yourself, well, this doesn't really feel like a 31-10 game. The Miami Dolphins held the ball for 36 minutes compared to the Bills' 23 in this game. The Bills had one penalty for 5 yards in this game. The Dolphins had 7 for 50. The Bills went 2 for 2 in the red zone. They were outgained yardage-wise, 351 to 247. But the Bills just... each of them had 10 drives. The Bills just found ways to be efficient with the football offensively tonight. Their defense made more plays than the Dolphins did all night, Andrew. But I totally agree. I think there's a lot to take from this game, because I think I was equally as nervous about this defense coming into this game, knowing just how prolific this offense for the Dolphins can be. But even when they were making plays before Tua went out, at no point, Andrew, did it really feel like this Dolphins offense was threatening the Bills defensively the way we all probably felt they should, especially as soon as Terrell Bernard went out of the game.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I felt like there was never any, like, last week I said my heart rate was up.
I got some gray hairs last week, Andrew. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly. Like, my heart rate's up all last weekend, and this week I just felt like there was no issues. There was no real panic at all. I felt like the defense looked great, and they came up with big plays at big times, and that's what winning teams do, and I love to see that week two, especially against, you know, what people would say is a much better offense, you know, than the Cardinals, at least on paper. So to see them come through like that is just great.
Yeah.
Just super stoked about the performance, love where the defense is at. And, hope we keep going forward.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Andrew. You mentioned, you said something there that I want to hit on paper, right? It was kind of a throwaway thing you said there, but it feels like the Dolphins are a team that's on paper, right? Like, you look at their roster, you look at their receivers, you look at the top of the roster for the Dolphins. I mean, outside of Josh Allen, Josh Allen's the best player on the field most weeks. He was again this week, but do the Dolphins have the next four or five players? If you were to list the top 10 players in this game, do the Dolphins have 7 of them? I mean, legitimately, they might have the seven of the best 10 players in this game, and they just got outclassed. They are a perfect example of a team that looks good on paper, but can't seem to put it together. It was a masterclass in coaching from Sean McDermott. And by the way, I sat here behind this microphone after the Denver game last year, advocating for the Bills to move on and fire Sean McDermott. And listen, you know, at the end of the day, a week two win over a division rival doesn't change anything that's happened in the past. But I guess where I'm going with this part of the conversation is Sean McDermott is a very good football coach. He very clearly puts his team in a position each and every week to do great things. And he falls short, you know, but a lot of teams fall short. One out of the 32 teams every year get to win a Super Bowl. But what it showed me tonight is that Sean McDermott is still the best coach in this division, that it was never close. And the conversation around the Dolphins having the best coach in the division or having the best offense in the division, this is the AFC East runs through Buffalo. And it will continue to be that way. And anyone saying anything otherwise doesn't know ball. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Andrew. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good. Just want to talk about, I know you guys obviously said this last time, but I mean, what a win defensively. I mean, just all yeah. the hate that was kind of coming up against, especially after that Cardinals game, you know, question marks, and then obviously the Teron Johnson injury. I mean, just great to see them just bounce back there. Jamarcus Ingram, UB guy, like that's just awesome yeah. to see just for the people of Buffalo. I mean, that's just sweet.
100%. And Jay, too, I mean, Jamarcus Ingram having the pick six is great. I mean, he made the play last week to close out the game against the Arizona Cardinals. It's awesome to watch this team truly have the next man up mentality. And it's easy to say it, but it's far harder to live it and to actually prove that it can be next man up in the 111th. I mean, that is what this defense right now is personifying. And to me, for this unit to be as good as they are, a lot of it is scheme dependent, right? I mean, this is just a damn good scheme. This is a scheme that got the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl. This is a scheme that I think largely has been the reason the Bills have been one of the best pass defenses in all of football since Sean McDermott has come over. And listen, right now in the NFL, and the NFL 15 years ago used to be run and stop the run. And now in the NFL, it's pass and stop the pass. And the Bills can do both of those things at a very high level. It's why each and every year, they're a team that is going to be in it all the way until the end. They're going to be playing meaningful games in December and into January. And they are getting off to the kind of start they're going to need to get off to in order to give themselves some leeway late this season when they have a pretty tremendously difficult schedule against the Detroit Lions, who I think is the most talented team in football. The San Francisco 49ers, who I think are the second most talented team in football, and then Kansas City, who just won the Super Bowl. I mean, they've got those teams up ahead in the schedule, and if they can get out to a hot start, start 4-1, start 5-0, they could really give themselves the sort of cushion that they need to drop one later in the season or lose two of those three, because they easily could do it. But what a great start to the season. Obviously, last week wasn't pretty at times. This one from start to finish was as pretty as it got. Thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Ryan.
Love the show, love the game. I'm going to bring it up right now, man. To be honest, the first drive for the Bills, McDermott going for that 4th-and-3, getting that touchdown, set the whole momentum. He went for a 4th-and-3 last game against Arizona. He kicked the field goal. I'm so glad he went for it, man. And that set the whole tone for the game moving forward. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Ryan. Thanks for the call. And they called the timeout. I thought that they were going to kick the field goal, but they went back out there. They ran a play, and it was a damn well-designed play by Joe Brady. I mean, it was a thing of beauty to watch the design and the scheme on that play. That was it was really, really impressive. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Will. Will, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Will.
Hey, man. How you doing? I wanted to call. I haven't called into a sports talk radio show literally since I was in middle school, and I used to prank Art Wander on WRC for your time. But if you know who that is, I have him on tape.
I do, yeah.
In any event, I feel so compelled about this, and you actually touched on it a minute ago. I feel like so many people get caught up in, when they're assessing head coaches, in clock management, game management. Look, 13 seconds, 100% of McDermott, no mm-hmm. doubt about it, right? But, like, no one ever talks about how good coaches are at coaching football players to be good football players. Sean McDermott, in that regard, is unbelievable, right? Like, look at all, particularly in the secondary, look at all the players that exceeded their perceived expectations. Tre'Davious White, Poyer, Hyde, you want it, Levi Wallace, right? Dane Jackson, like, you plug in Jamarcus Ingram, he's good now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, more people to talk about how good McDermott is at coaching football players. If anybody here played college or high school football, they know that, like, you don't just look at, oh, did my coach make the right call on third down or call the timeout at the right time? They coached us to be football players, right? Like, McDermott is amazing at coaching football players, especially on defense.
You know what I'll say
to
Will?
Always the clock management assessment.
To your point here, I like the phrase, the sum is better than the parts. In any conversation, it feels like we're going to have about a Coach McDermott coach team, is that as a unit, he's going to get the most out of players. I mean, getting what he's gotten out of Cam Lewis and Baylen Spector tonight coming in, playing his first real meaningful football of his career, stepped in and listen, I mean, they gave up 10 points to, I think, the most prolific offense in football, or what can be the most prolific offense in football. But I think there's some real conversations that the Dolphins need to have, because I think that they've got real patience problems. And what I mean, Will, by that is, like, that team... teams are going to let them take that little dump play to Achane. They're going to say, we're not going to let you beat us over the top. You're not going to get a big play. I don't think they're patient enough to take that all game, go down the field methodically. The Bills are. And I think that's the biggest difference between these two teams and how they're coached.
100%, man. I mean, it sounds like you get what I'm trying to say. The guy in the afternoon, he doesn't get it, although he likes McDermott. But, you know, he's all about the clock and the management that you call the timeout at the right time. I'm talking about coaching football players to be good football players. McDermott, A++, always has been. That's all I got.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. This is one of Sean McDermott's best coach games. Like, no doubt about it. They really – and, like, I'm just watching highlights on ESPN now on SVP at night, and, like – I can't say enough about these corners. After week one, I think they were targeted two times last week against the Arizona Cardinals. Benford and Douglas, there should be some conversations around these two being one of the best, you know, corner duo. Hats off. Can we say this? Hats off to Brandon Bean for that, the trade deadline acquisition of Rasul Douglas, and being willing to move off of a fan favorite and an organizational favorite in Tre'Davious White. Listen, these are hard decisions. It's not just a coaching, you know, a day for coaching. I think it's also a day to remember some of the moves that Brandon Bean has put out to put this team where they are. Thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on the post game show. I'm sorry.
Willing to move off of a fan favorite.
Hey Eric, do me a favor. Can you turn down your radio for me?
These are hard.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep. I got you.
I honestly want to say, like, I'm so sick of hearing the offensive coach, defensive coach this. I mean, let's be honest, the Buffalo Bills are the better team no matter who they play when Josh Allen is on the field. And I just want to say one person who's been underrated since his days in Georgia is James Cook. And
yeah.
Let James Cook.
Yeah, man, he had quite a game, quite a first half, 3 touchdowns in the first half. I love that they're using him in the red zone now. They showed it last week. He didn't find pay dirt last week. But, man, handing off to him on first and goal, a strong sign. I said this to Zach at some point during the broadcast. I said, I should have bet the Josh Allen rushing under, knowing that, A, the hand injury, but, B, this is a team that I think can now operate and not need Josh Allen to do every damn thing all the damn time. So really, really great to see James Cook go off the way that he did. 3 touchdowns. He had 2 rushing touchdowns all of last year. He had 2 in the first half this week. Great stuff from the third-year pro. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on the post-game show. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you. I want to talk about Von Miller, because obviously we all know last year he looked pretty bad. But I don't think people, for one, give defensive ends enough credit for how athletic they are. And Von Miller last year, when he had to get low, when he had to do anything,
yep,
go around the corner, he always had
that
to
bend.
Down.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time he had to bend. This year so far, and especially this game, I saw straight athleticism from him. I didn't see anything slowing him down. I was telling my friend in the first quarter, have you been watching him? He goes, no. I go, I've seen him get in the backfield twice already. He looked great.
Yeah, and, you know, knock on wood, Frank, we haven't seen that drop, right? To me, with Von Miller, I was expecting to maybe see them use him or maybe overuse him and then start to see a drop in performance. They're like, he's basically like a 60 sports car in your garage that you pull out when the weather's really nice and you want to show it off to your friends, right? I mean, but he's playing at a high level. The speed, the get off, right? Like the elusiveness, but he's a motivated player, Frank. Like, you can see that he is hungry to change the minds of people, that he's cooked and he's done. I think he wants to change the minds. And I'm going to tell you this, Frank, he's certainly changing mine on what I thought they had in him. And frankly, Frank, if he's this player, I'm not worried about their edge anymore. Like, the edge room, I had real concerns that, oh, Frank, I got to go. I got head coach Sean McDermott at the podium.
Thank you for having me on.
On a short week, great team win. So, you know, I thought the important piece was after half, being able to come out and widen the lead was critical for us. James Cook really showed up in a lot of different ways tonight for us. And then the fourth down defense was pivotal. Fans, I mean, what else is there to say about the fans? I actually had someone come over during the game and ask me if this was a home game, which is pretty cool, right? Because there's so many Buffalo Bills fans here. So love it, man. Great environment for the Buffalo Bills. Appreciate all the fans making the trip down here. The Tua situation, and it didn't look good, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. We want the best for him, and with that, I'll turn it over to you for your questions.
Ron, how impressive your defense, losing Teron last week and then Bernard early in the game, how impressive to put on that performance without those two guys?
Yeah, again, next man up. The guys did a great job. Bale Inspector knew the game plan, prepared like he was going to start, and the results are the results. And then Jamarcus comes in again, gets another big play for us, and that's great to see. And these guys work hard, you know, so good things happen when you work hard, and sometimes the ball finds you like that. And again, it was a good team win. So all three phases, it's not about one person, but again, all three phases factored in the win, which is good to see. And still a lot of work to do, but we'll enjoy this playing ride home, and the players will be able to get some rest, and some of the coaches as well and staff, so it'll be good.
What's the injury with Terrell?
I don't know. I know what the area is. I just don't know the severity of it yet. So.
James Cook's touchdown catch up. How well designed was that? Been executed.
Yeah, great call by Joe. Well executed. The timing on that, you know, I think they brought pressure on that play, and again, preparation by Joe and the offensive staff, and the players executed.
Follow up on James, two rushing touchdowns after that. Not that he needed confidence, but what kind of momentum can he carry out of this game?
Yeah, again, you know, James just continues to grow and get better. He was one of our captains tonight, and you know, it's well deserved, right? So. He's from here, and I know it was important for him to play well, and he's just continuing to grow and develop, and just extremely proud of him.
Two wins in 5 minutes. This is tough sledding. How proud are you of this group to sort of rally?
Yeah, again, I mean, we've got a lot of new players and whatnot, and you're never really sure. There's so many unknowns starting a season. And, you know, we come back the first week of the season and win, and I think that was a step for us, for any team, to be able to say that you can do that, you can play in close games. And then this game, being able to come down here on a short week, to your point, at their place and play like we did. We played our style of football, and I think we've got, you know, things to do to work and get some rest, like I said, but continuing to groove our football and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to become.
Sean, the linebacker, you're arguing about Matt Milano. Obviously, I'm not sure what Terrell's outlook is, but just what do you see out of that group that helps them prepare for, you know, whatever happens next?
Yeah, I think Coach Holcomb does a really good job. And those guys, you know, they want to be coached. They want to prepare. They want to be good all the way up and down the depth chart that way. And so they realize that they may be a special teams player one day, and then the next day they're asked to play a lot or start. And Balin's a good example of that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Have a good ride home.
All right, Sean McDermott there, the Bills head coach, and the coach's podium is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll get you the Skyworks stats, the game. Continue taking your phone calls at 803-0550. The Bills win 31-10. This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted, coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram, a 30-yard interception return for a touchdown, Tua's third pick of the night.
And there is your play of the game, Jamarcus Ingram's pick six of Tua Tagovailoa. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary along with you for the next hour or so. Before we go back to the phones and get caught up with our fans, let's hit the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. Josh Allen finishes the game 13-19, 139 yards and a touchdown. No sacks given up in this game and 107.1 quarterback rating. James Cook finishes with the lead on the ground, averaging over 7 yards a carry, 11 carries for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns, including a 49-yard touchdown in the early, late parts of the first half, I believe it was. Khalil Shakir leads the team in receptions tonight, 5 for 54 on 5 targets. So another clean slate for Khalil Shakir, 5 catches on 5 targets, another great game from him. Dalton Kincaid finishes this one 4 for 33, also on 4 targets. And Curtis Samuel, just 1 for 3 in this game. That's a guy and a name I'm going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks to really start to pick up in terms of the statistic category. Leading the way for the Bills, 3-way tie for tackles in this game, led by 8 solo tackles from Damar Hamlin. A great game from Hamlin, including a tackle for loss in this game. Baylen Specter and Dorian Williams played most of this game in the middle of the defense, each of them with 10 total tackles on the day. Jamarcus Ingram, as mentioned earlier, 2 interceptions, including a pick six, and another interception added tonight by Christian Benford, who also had 7 tackles as well. 803-0550, the number to call. Those are your Skyworks stats of the game. And again, Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Time now to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Rob, who's been waiting patiently. Rob, you're on the postgame show. Good evening to you, Rob.
Well, good evening to you there, Sugar High Nate.
How are you, my friend? I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Yeah, buddy. Listen, man, well executed offensively and defensively. Defense was unbelievable tonight. You know, I actually was on the Chris Brownie and Tasker show earlier today, and, you know, one of the things I did say, or a couple of things I did say, was Buffalo needs to put up anywhere in between 30 and 35 points. Hit the bell on that one. And then the other thing was defense. I was like, you know, we can't give the Dolphins too much cushion. We played them very, very well, you know, setting the safeties up where they did. And one of the things is it was a well-disciplined game. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was only 1 penalty.
Yes, 1 for 5 yards.
1 for 5 yards. Is that amazing or what?
I got to admit, that is a very clean game. They had been struggling, really dating back to the end of last year, Rob, with especially the procedural penalties, the false starts, couple holding calls last week. I mean, from start to, it just was as clean of a game as I can remember. And to me, it's not a shock that it came against the Dolphins. This team, they're just so confident against this team. It's just like when you know you've got someone's number, like the Bills know they have the Dolphins' number, they come in super, super prepared. They come in super confident. But on the other side, Rob, like they were talking about this, I think, at halftime. I think it was Andrew Whitworth mentioned this. It's like when you have a team that you keep falling short against time and time again, like the Dolphins do with the Bills, you're just sort of waiting for the bad play, the bad thing to happen. And then the pressure mounts and it mounts and it mounts. And you could just tell that was a team not playing loosely. That was a team that knew the pressure was there. And frankly, Rob, this is a Dolphins team that should be 0-2. You know, they were a fluke fumble at the 1-yard line last week from avoiding a blowout and ended up coming back to win that game. But don't get it twisted. Jacksonville lost that game last week. The Bills made sure to not have that same fate. But Rob, I agree. Yeah. I mean, from start to finish, it's the cleanest game I can remember.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to bring up was the fact that, you know, it was so nice to see James Cook catch that pass on the outside to the left.
Great
and
ball, too.
Actually catch it and walk it in for the touchdown this time. You know, it was just like, you know, James Cook had himself a nice little fish fry tonight. He cooked himself up a real nice meal. And I will be wearing my James Cook jersey tomorrow night to the meetings to just show off. So, I mean, I'm real happy with the result. It's nice. We're going to be off for 11 days. I think we're going to handle Jacksonville very, very nicely. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to listening to WGR 550 for the rest of the week. You guys have a good night.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great night yourself. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to George. George, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, George.
Hey, Nate. Love the show, man.
Thanks.
Just wanted to bring this up. You know, this must be like what the Patriots fans felt like for so long.
No kidding. I mean,
what a great feeling. We dominate these guys every time. Yeah, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, George, that's a good point. I would assume this is exactly what Patriots fans for basically the better part of two decades felt every time they faced the Bills. It was like, you know, you were getting a win, and if you'd lost, it was basically like the other team's Super Bowl. And right now, for the Miami Dolphins, every game against the Bills is their Super Bowl. And as their roster's constructed, listen, they've gone all in on the quarterback who now listen, there's a lot of conversations, there's a lot of tweets from former players and people that watched the injury happen in real time with Tua that he really needs to consider hanging it up. And listen, I mean, he's got $67 million, probably $100+ million guaranteed, regardless of whether or not he ever plays another down. And I think, you know, he definitely should, you know, really think about long and hard about, you know, what's next for Tua. But this is a team that went all in on Tua, paid a lot of money for receivers, just gave an extension to an old, you know, corner who, you tell me, other than getting burned by the Bills' third-string running back, I can't tell you another play where I remember Jalen Ramsey in this game. And that's your, you know, $70 million corner. So, yeah, the Dolphins are – I know it's one game and it's week two, but it this feels about as dim of a post-game for the Miami Dolphins as I can remember. And, yeah, not a great spot to be in if you're a Dolphins fan tonight, that is for sure. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Austin. Austin, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Austin.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback off of, you know, talking about Jalen Ramsey. Nothing makes me happier than after all those things he said about Allen, calling him trash. And then, like you said, I think it was a third down play, third and long, and he rolls out to the right, and it almost looked like he was throwing it away. And then he hits Ty Johnson deep there right over Ramsey. Like, you love seeing that. A couple other plays, you know, Allen really threaded the needle to Shakir on the one. And then that sidearm throw in the second half to Shakir was great. He was awesome tonight despite, you know, low stats. And the defense really won them the game. But I think it was really nice to see a couple big plays. And anytime Jalen Ramsey gets dunked on, that's great for Bills fans, you know.
That is a fact, Austin. I have no sympathy for Jalen Ramsey, that is for sure. Especially because he's never really walked that back, no love lost here. I'm not a Jalen Ramsey fan. So, but thanks for the call, Austin. Appreciate it. Let's go to Neil. Neil, you're on the postgame show. Good evening to you, Neil.
Pleasure to speak with you as always. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
A couple things. So, you know, it's right that the Dolphins view the Bills as our Super Bowl. Hopefully we as Bills fans don't view beating the Chiefs in the regular season as our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With that being said, however, a couple of things. Great, complete win. I thought this was, I was very worried losing our two safeties that especially with this game, with the speed of Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, they were going to go all over the field on us. But the fact is that the Dolphins cannot handle physicality in the trenches. They cannot handle physicality, period. They're a team built on speed and finesse, and when someone punches them in the mouth, they can't handle it. That's why they lose to the Bills. It was great to see, you know, a lot of times Al Michaels in his senile broadcast was talking about that James Cook is an underrated, you know, underrated player. He's not underrated. He's a star in the NFL. And Joe Brady has shown that if you thought that offensive coordinators don't matter, watch that fourth down play to James Cook for a touchdown. That was the perfect call in the perfect spot. And Joe Brady has done to this offense what we've wanted for years. Run the football, play good defense, and Josh Allen can do Josh Allen things without having him do too much. Mm-hmm. And with the emergence of James Cook, and even that the running back we drafted, whose name is slipping my mind.
Ray Davis, yeah. Runs.
He's been very good. I mean, you know, running back by committee is the way it is in the NFL. But if you take the pressure off Josh Allen, you make him a better quarterback. And if you just watch him on the sidelines, you know, even tonight, 13-9 for 1,937 yards, he made the plays when he had to. He got it to his running backs. He's spreading the ball around. And this offense looks better. It might not. We don't have a guy with 100-yard catches and, you know, a 1,000-mile, you know, ego and Stephon Diggs. But what we have is balance. We played smart, conservative, and we minimize mistakes. And if you do that, you're going to win in the NFL more than you're going to lose, and that's what matters.
Yeah, 100%, Neil. I totally agree with you. Thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah, I agree with your point about the Dolphins, too. I mean, they definitely do not handle getting that physical punch. There's no doubt about it. They don't handle it well. And yet, they've really made no urgency in changing that. They've just leaned into it harder and harder every year. I mean, their offensive line was dropping like flies tonight. But even before the injuries, that's one of the worst offensive lines in football. And tonight it showed. All right, thanks for the call, guys. 803-0550, the numbers to call. Before we take a timeout, I would like to pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, we've got some breaks to get to. We've got, a bunch of sound from the locker room coming up here. Eye on the quarterback, difference maker of the game. So we've got a bunch ahead here this evening on the Buffalo Bills postgame show, so don't go anywhere. I've got some open phone lines as well at 803-0550. I'm Nate Geary. This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show, and this is Buffalo Bills football.
The Buffalo Bills have squished the fish by a score of 31-10, advancing to 2-0 on the 2024 NFL season. Josh Allen led the day, going 13-for-19 for 139 yards with one passing touchdown. And on the ground, James Cook led with 11 carries for 78 yards and two rushing touchdowns and one receiving touchdown. And in the air, Khalil Shakir led with 5 receptions for 54 yards. And defense made a statement against the Miami offense with Christian Benford and Jamarcus Ingram combining for 3 interceptions. Up next, the Bills return home to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars for a 7:30 p.m. kickoff coming up on Monday, September 23rd. You can catch all of the action right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Kicking off on Sunday at 1 p.m., the 49ers and Vikings, Seahawks against the Patriots, the Giants taking on the Commanders, the Chargers take on the Panthers, and the Cowboys take on the Saints. This update and scores from around the league are delivered by the UPS Store. Be unstoppable. I'm Joe Calley for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Work.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary here with you for the next hour. I'll kick it over to Derek Kramer for our local coverage here on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. Derek Kramer will be taking over for that until 2 a.m. So we've got two more hours, an hour here on our network, and then another hour locally here of Bills postgame coverage after the Bills' 31-10 win over the Miami Dolphins. They are now 2-0 on the season. And before we get to some locker room sound, let me get you an eye on the quarterback. An eye on the quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And in this game, Josh Allen, a pretty quiet evening for Josh. And for a game to go the way that it did in a 21-point blowout of a division opponent, I think most nights if Josh Allen finishes 13 of a 19 for 139 yards and a touchdown, you're feeling pretty down about your chances of winning football games. But this was a full team effort. James Cook, to me, player of the game. If it's not Jamarcus Ingram on the defensive side of the ball, James Cook, 3 touchdowns in this game. But yeah, quiet night for Josh Allen in the blowout victory. And speaking of Josh Allen, let's go to the locker room and hear live from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
James Cook with 3 touchdowns in the first half. How cool is that?
Awesome. Hat trick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, he's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him, and he got his touchdown down there, the long one. And then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him. And, you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
How's the hand?
It's good. Feels great. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you take us
threw that pass to Ty Johnson on the before the James Cook 1 yard run. Like, what happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, motioned him out there. We motioned Khalil across. You know, was feeling some sort of zone. Progressed it right to left. Had a little bit of just movement. Rolled out right. I saw the deep safety kind of, you know, jump something underneath. I saw Ty one on one with a backer. Felt like he kind of slipped inside. I just gave him a catchable ball, and he went up and made a play.
James Cook touchdown catch on that fourth down. Is there patience required to let him get out the flat?
Yeah, he's just got to. He has to find a way there. We had a lot of trust in him there. You know, I messed up the call. You know, before the timeout. Fortunately, called the same play, and they changed the defense to really the defense that we were hoping to get. So it worked out, but can't be taking timeouts on the first drive. But they went zero. You know, I just gave a little eyes right just to hold some people, and knowing that I got the safety off the edge, you know, he's untouched, and just got to trust Jimbo to go get open there, and he did and made a play.
Josh, you went to Dalton two of the first three plays. Was that by design or just where the ball went?
Just kind of where the ball went. Different options on different pass plays, and obviously want to continue to get him the ball more and get him involved, especially early in the game, you know, and force defenses to really key in on him. So just kind of how it happened.
You heard on the bench tonight, thrown into the bands. Is that just the way it worked out?
Yeah, hands are okay, though. It didn't fall on the hands. Yeah, it just comes up quick sometimes on the sideline when you throw it 1 inch up from the sideline. So, yeah, head on a swivel over there.
Josh, what's it like, unfortunately, to see Tua go down like that, another quarterback, and in that way?
Yeah, very sad. That's, you know, the worst part of the game. You know, nothing but love and prayers sending to him and his family, and hopefully everyone's sending those because he's going to need them. And, yeah, it's the worst part of the game.
Josh, what can you say about the defense for this team? I mean, they're going through it on that side of the ball with some significant injuries, but to hold that offense to 10 points.
Unbelievable job. And lose TB in the first quarter. Baylen comes in. He's the green dot. Makes some plays. J-Mark comes in, makes some plays. You know, you look at the stat sheet. I don't know what our numbers were, but I know we were really low in time of possession, and we were probably really low in total yards, but still managed to put up 31 points, and that means your defense is doing something right. So they had our back tonight, and we're going to need them going forward. And I'm just very proud of how guys stepped up into their roles, and they played together. You know, when you play together like that, you're typically going to have good results.
Josh, going off of that, what does it say about this team on a short week to come out and have that kind of complete performance on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, don't blink mentality. Just drop the football. Let's play. Got a lot of faith in the guys that we have in this room. You know, I think it starts with our pass rush. You know, Von Miller had some. He looked like Von Miller tonight. You know, that's what I told him. I mean, he had one spin move. He didn't get there, but one spin move, that was pretty scary. You know, and Greg Rousseau out there again making plays. Ed Oliver, you name it. You know, those guys are straining each and every play, and they're working together right now, and we're holding up at the back end. So it's good to see.
Two wins in 5 days with a lot of unknowns a week ago at this time. What have you discovered about this offense?
Well, it's still early, but I'm very proud of the guys, how they're handling it. You know, that the everybody eats approach. We're just trying to find the open guy and get everybody involved. But guys are stepping up to the plate, and they're making plays when their numbers are called. So got to keep working. And, again, tonight's a weird one because you get the ball so close to your end zone, three different possessions. You know, it was a fourth down stop. There was two turnovers. We got it over there. So, again, it's not going to be eye-popping numbers on the stat sheet, but when you can put up those type of numbers on the scoreboard, that's all you care about. But, again, as time goes on, there's going to be more opportunity for our guys to go make some plays.
Josh, what can you say about the fans walking off the field with your arms up? That's got to be pretty cool to do that not at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Was there a fan that you told that you had to leave?
Nah.
Is he like a lawyer at all?
Pre-game, I talked to him a little bit. You know, he's love that guy.
All right, there's Bills quarterback Josh Allen, and of course, that sound for the locker room is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer. Take a time out. We've got some breaks to catch up on. 803-0550, the number to call if you'd like to get your thoughts at the Bills win 31-10. I'm Mike Geary, live from our Amherst studios. This is Buffalo Bills football.
The Buffalo Bills squished the Fish by a score of 31-10 and remain undefeated in the 2024 NFL season. Josh Allen led the day, going 13-for-19 for 139 yards with one touchdown. James Cook led the ground attack with 11 carries for 78 yards, one receiving touchdown, and two rushing touchdowns. And in the air, Khalil Shakir led with five receptions for 54 yards. And the defense made a statement with Christian Benford and Jamarcus Ingram combining for three interceptions. Up next, the Bills return home to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday, September 23rd, with a 7:30 p.m. kickoff, with full play-by-play action right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Taking a look at games coming up this Sunday, the Jets take on the Titans at 1 p.m., the Buccaneers take on the Lions at 1 p.m., and the Raiders take on the Ravens at 1 p.m. This update and scores from around the league are delivered by the UPS Store. Be unstoppable. I'm Joe Calley for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary back at network controls. The Bills moved to 2-0 on the season. They went on Thursday Night Football 31-10 over the Miami Dolphins. And for more, let's go live to the locker room to hear from Bills edge rusher Von Miller. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
Pace for 17.
No, like I said last week, it just feels good to be able to do your job. You know, on a short week, especially at 35 years old, it wasn't easy, but was able to recover in these days. Coach McDermott and coaching staff did a good job of getting us healthy and really just working on the mental. We knew we were going to play a tough Miami team. They still had a lot more out there, and there were some plays that they missed. So even though the score was what it was, that was the deception of what type of game it was. It was closer than that, and you know, their stars are all explosive, and they still have all our respect.
To do that without Bernard, without Taron, of course, that was pretty impressive, those two guys.
Yeah, I hate saying next man up, you know, because you can't replace those guys. TB, that's our captain. He's the heartbeat of this defense. We already lost Matt Milano. So it's going to be tough trying to, you know, to fill that void. But those young guys, man, you got to give it to them. You know, Baylen Spector came in, and he made it work. Kept the defense together. He did a great job, you know, leading the guys out there, and we're able to come out with the dub.
What did you learn about this team
in
the last 5 weeks?
Oh, you know, I'm neither surprised nor satisfied. You know, we had a lot of good practices during training camp. We played Pittsburgh pretty tough. We had a good game last week too. So I think the confidence was flowing from that second half last week, and you know, we just believed in ourselves. You know, we gave Miami all the respect. You know, they got all type of stars, all type of explosive players, some of the best players in the league. But we just, you know, believed in the type of football that we play and that we've been playing, and just came out here and took them one play at a time. And today was for us. Oh, it was tough. You know, I love Tua on and off the football field. I'm a huge fan of him. I can empathize and sympathize with him because I've been there. You know, I've been injured, and I know how tough that road is to come back. So I wish him the best. Like I said, it's just a game. You know, I love him on and off the football field, and I wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully it's not in the series.
But how much is Bobby Babbage's fingerprint on his defensive performance?
How much is Bobby Babbage's fingerprint? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Bobby, he's doing a great job. He's been doing a great job. I don't think it should be any surprise. I don't think you know, anybody should be surprised by the type of job that he's doing. You know, we had a dynamic offense last week, dynamic offense this week, and he dialed it up for us. He's a great coach, and I think he's an even better teacher, man. He's just one of the guys. He really knows how to get the guys' mindset right, and, you know, I got all the respect in the world for Bobby. It's only 2 weeks in, so can't get too high. But we're going to celebrate this one tonight, though, for sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. Coach Marcus!
All right, there's Bills defensive end, edge rusher, outside linebacker, whatever you want to call him, Von Miller. By the way, another sack for Von Miller tonight. Now, two in the first 2 weeks, and if you recall, Von Miller this offseason restructured his contract and converted a bunch of money and a bunch of his salary into incentives, which, you know, is pretty unheard of. The Bills had two players do that this year, Dawson Knox and Von Miller. But Von Miller is a Hall of Fame player. First ballot. Whenever he hangs it up, as soon as he's eligible for a Hall of Fame induction, he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think he's the current active sack leader in the NFL. And for him to do that, to bet on himself, is already looking like a smart move. But it was a move to help his team become camp compliant and make some moves this offseason. So kudos to him this offseason for being unselfish. But, you know, he's backing it up on the field. So a really great start to the season for Von Miller and really this entire Bills defense. I mean, three big turnovers tonight, two of which were from Jamarcus Ingram and an interception. And speaking of him, we'll go live to hear from Jamarcus Ingram. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
A couple of interceptions. You're the first UB player to record two interceptions in an NFL game. One of them a pick six. Can you reflect on your big performance and kind of the whirlwind that you've experienced over these past 2 weeks to thrust into action?
Oh, man, it's a blessing, you know, to just be in this position. But I would say really just my mindset, you know, every week and every day coming in preparing and telling myself, you know, that I'll be in position to make plays. You know, I'll be in position to make that play whenever that play comes. I just always tell myself that.
Is a night like tonight everything you ever dreamed of?
Yeah, it's you know what I'm saying, it's a feeling that I don't even got words to describe.
The second one, did you believe that it was coming to you on that play?
Nah, I couldn't. I was just doing my job, and, you know, it just fell right out the sky.
What happened on that play? What exactly did happen?
It looked like, you know, our D-line, they was rushing, you know what I'm saying, real good, and got him off the spot, and he just threw it away. It looked like he was trying to throw it away, and, you know, I was just running to the ball and caught it and took it to the crib.
Went from Chun mentioned after the game against Arizona that you may not have even been up that day if it weren't for the injury. And to go from that to playing such a central role in two wins in the span of, you know, 5 days, just what goes through your mind like that quick of a turnaround?
It's a lot, you know, especially getting told, you know, that I might not be up. But my mindset is, you know, preparing like I'm a play, preparing like I'm a starter, you know, no matter what. But it's still, you know, things that I feel, and it's a lot to, you know, be able to step up in those moments. And the fact that they got faith in me to be able to do that, it's just a blessing to be a part of this organization that I can step up in those moments and make plays.
What's the support been like from your teammates? Obviously talking about the journey, but that sideline was insane when you went over there. What was that like?
Like I said, I don't even really got the words to describe it, but I know I got a group of teammates, you know, that love me, and I love them as well. And, you know, I can't be more blessed and thankful for the organization that I play for, my teammates, you know, and just the position that I'm in.
Walk us through the first interception as well, if you could. Was it just the right place, right time?
Yeah, just doing my job. And, you know, CB made a hell of a play on the ball, and just running to the ball, I was able to, you know, come up with that one. So.
All right, there's your, I mean, heck, that's your player of the game, if you ask me, Jamarcus Ingram, there after the Bills' 31-10 victory, that he had a very large part in tonight. Two interceptions, as you heard, they're the first University of Buffalo player to record two interceptions in a game, and obviously their return for the pick six that really ended up sealing this game. And yeah, a difference player of the game for me, for sure, in this game, no doubt about it. All right, timeout, and on the other side, we will continue breaking this down. We'll hear more from the locker room. We got James Cook as well, who will speak, who had three touchdowns. Speaking of, you know, potential you know, difference makers of the game, James Cook right up there as well. So timeout, and on the other side, we'll continue on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. I'm Nate Geary. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The Buffalo Bills have squished the Fish by a score of 31-10 and remain undefeated on the 2024 NFL season. Josh Allen led the day, going 13-for-19 for 139 yards with one touchdown. James Cook led the ground attack with 11 carries for 78 yards and two touchdowns on the ground and one receiving touchdown as well. Khalil Shakir led in the air with five receptions for 54 yards, and the defense made a statement with Christian Benford and Jamarcus Ingram combining for three interceptions. Up next, the Bills head home to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday, September 23rd with a 7:30 p.m. kickoff with full play-by-play action right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Getting you ready for games coming up this Sunday. Taking a look in the later window, the Rams take on the Cardinals at 4:05. The Bengals take on the Chiefs at 4:25. The Broncos take on the Steelers at 4:25. And the Bears take on the Texans at 8:20. And then to close it all out on Monday, the Falcons and Eagles duke it out at 8:15 p.m. This update and scores from around the league are delivered by the UPS Store. Be unstoppable. I'm Joe Cali for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nick Geary leading you here for the next half hour or so. Coming up, we'll hear from James Cook here in just a minute live from the locker room. We'll also be hearing again from Josh Allen. If you missed that earlier, we'll get his postgame comments back to you in about 10 or 15 minutes from now. But before we do all that, just a quick run through recap of tonight's game, and you know, obviously the score 31-10 Buffalo, but a couple of things to note that the Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel did speak after the game in regards to the injury or current status of Tua. The good news is, from an injury perspective, sustained a concussion in the third quarter, and obviously the concern with Tua is his history of head injuries, and the concern that you saw what I believe the term is referred to as fencing, which is your body's reaction to a traumatic head injury, and watching his hands sort of seize up like they did with that really scary one that he had last year. And I can't remember the game, but I want to say it was the Bengals game last year or 2 years ago. I'm sorry, this is 2020 or 2022, I mean. And, you know, he gets carted off and he's got his hands, and it was just a very scary situation for Tua. And obviously praying for and hoping for the best for Tua. Just a very scary scenario and very scary situation on prime time in front of everyone. And just not how you want to see this game. You want to beat teams at their best. You want to beat the Dolphins and have Tua out there the entire game. He struggled tonight. There's no doubt about it. He went 17-25, 145 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions with a quarterback rating of 56.7. It was not good before the injury, but you know, I think a lot of those stats kind of go out the window when you're thinking about a player like this. And obviously, the Dolphins are a big rival to the Bills. And you know, I don't particularly like the Dolphins, but you know, that was really tough to watch and tough to see, and hoping and praying that he has a fast, speedy recovery and is able to get back on the field as soon as possible. That's really, unfortunately, the one of the top stories from this game. If you're going to be watching ESPN later tonight, it's pretty much the thing that everyone's talking about is, you know, his fourth diagnosed concussion of his NFL and college career, and two of which came against the Bills. So, tough scene, no doubt about it. All right, let's go and hear from Jimbo, James Cook, who finished tonight with three touchdowns, all of which came in the first half. So, James Cook from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
Just the preparation that happened over the week. Just a quick turnaround. Got my body together. And just prepared myself. And good things happened today.
On the touchdown, the first touchdown, the flip pass there. Is that a simple case of the blitz game from that area?
Was
the open area that you just went to?
No, I would not say the open area I went to. The play was designed for that because we knew that was going to blitz zero. So once the safety came off the edge, it was automatically jump off.
49-yard touchdown after the
sack.
How long is that? Why?
Just give kudos to the O-line. You know, they opened up lanes for us to run today, and we did our job, and good turnout.
At what point do you think Somersault controlled the
I wasn't thinking. I was just going with my whatever I went through. But I always flipped, though, so I just did it.
How much of a boost is that going to give you before that they can trust you in those situations?
Yeah, like you've seen today, just As long as they trust me, I'm going to get in the end zone.
We got 2 wins in 5 days to start the season. What kind of momentum can this team take advantage
of? Just keep going 1-0.
And how did Donnie feel for running back last such a short term?
That was great. Got back, got my body right, and was ready to play.
All right, James Cook there again, 3 touchdowns tonight, including 1 through the air, 2 on the ground. He had 11 carries for 78 yards and, as in the aforementioned, 2 touchdowns. Also added a catch for 17 yards and a score as well. And it's time now to get connected with their fans. It's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the postgame show. Good morning now to you, Tom. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nate. How you doing?
Well.
I thought, so obviously the story of the game is going to be the defense, and I mean, it's incredible how Sean McDermott can and Bobby Babich and all those, his staff can just coach these players way over expectations. You know, I mean, the list is endless. Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson, Matt, I mean, just on and on. But what I thought kind of went under the radar, you know, obviously score effects and just the whole, the way the game played out was that in the first half, Joe Brady, his scheme looked really creative. It was a lot of like multiple motions, multiple sets. You know, he had 6 linemen out there, 12 personnel, 4 wide, all these different things. And it was all kind of pretty successful, just like it kind of was against, you know, Arizona. And, you know, frankly, like comparing the two offensive schemes, I thought that McDaniel, shockingly so, was rather pedestrian. I mean, he did motion, but it was like kind of the same motion that you always see in the Bills defense. Like, yeah, we see this before, whatever, you know, whereas Brady's scheme just looked a little more creative. He had a lot of multiple motions, a lot of, you know, shifts, you know, different shifts that just seemed to confuse the Dolphins defense. And it really looked like, you know, it turned out to be obviously the defense took the day over, but you know, in the early going, it looked like the Bills' offense really had something going, you know, where they were able to move the ball really well. And I thought it went kind of under the radar that, you know, Joe Brady is you know, looking pretty good so far in the first couple of weeks.
No doubt about it. And, Tom, one thing, too, that I noticed is, you know, on the other side, I thought the Dolphins lacked patience offensively. Like, they were running the ball with ease, and yet they kept going to the air. And I remember this from last year in that first matchup that the Bills blew them out. They were having tons of, I think Achane had like over 100 yards in the first half in that game last year, and they just didn't stay with it. And throwing the football lost him the game. And it was the same thing tonight. I like Mike McDaniel a lot. I think he's a very innovative play caller, but I don't think that's an offense that is patient enough. When defenses are going to give them everything underneath, they take it, but then it's like Tua's got to get that big play. He's got to push it down the field, and I just don't think it's going to work for them long-term, Tom.
Nate, I think there was 2 things that like I took away from their offense this week was, number one, it looked like they looked like the team on the short week where it was like, oh, no new wrinkles. It was all kind of the same thing. And then second of all, Aaron Quinn pointed this out. I know you're a cover one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Hill went deep, then he had to come off the field after that. And
yeah.
There was no depth at receiver, you know, and that really, like especially on that the end of the first half, that happened, and then it was like, I don't know if it was third down, I think, right before the fourth down, where they, you know, had to take him off, and they had nobody behind him, and it was Jalen Waddle and you know, Robbie Chosen and you know, whoever the other guy was, and it severely affected their offense. So I'm not the guy that says, oh, thank God Stephon Diggs gone, you know, because I like, you know, having a guy that good. But that being said, I think the one thing the Bills have done that they didn't do in the past years is they have depth at receiver. You know, we're not putting, you know, Jake Kumerow out there, you know, as our fourth receiver. Whereas the Dolphins are very top heavy, and that's good in some ways, but in other ways it can hurt you. And it felt like that there was a lot of plays where they ran Hill deep, and I don't really know why you would do that against a McDermott defense that is so good at keeping everything in front of you and not giving up that big play, and then he has to come out the field, and now you're down to Waddle and, you know, nobody. So
yeah, Tom, listen, you're totally right, man. Yeah, thanks for the call, brother. Enjoy the rest of your morning, I guess, or your tomorrow / today. Always weird when you're, you know, here past midnight. Your point about their number three receiver, that Robbie Chosen, if Robbie Chosen is on the Bills, first of all, does he even make the Bills? Like, their top two receivers, there's no doubt. I mean, the top pair of their receivers are as good, if not the best duo of receivers in the NFL. But everybody else, now they have Odell Beckham Jr., and we'll see what happens if he ever comes back from injury. He's not the same player that he used to be, by the way. This MVS would be their number three receiver right now, and he's the Bills' number five receiver. Matt Collins would be their number three. Yeah, like, every receiver on the Bills would be their number three, and nobody on the bottom of that. But that is reminiscent of almost every position for the Dolphins. Really heavy at the top, and absolutely no depth behind it. And I think that's going to be part of the reason this is not... If Tua's out for an extended period of time, they're not going to make the playoffs.
No, they become a bad football team.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
They should be 0-2.
And they got at Seattle for week three with that secondary?
Yeah.
Against, you're likely going to be Skylar Thompson.
Yep.
Loss. They're 1-2.
Yeah, 1-2.
They're going to be 1-2.
And I would assume if at the very minimum, Tua is out for at least a week. Luckily, they got the long week here, and we'll see kind of what comes of that and what those reports look like. But, yeah, it is an early part of the season, very early. It's week two, the start of week two, and it really looks like the Dolphin season could be over already. All right, on the other side, we're going to hear from QB1, so don't go anywhere. If you missed that earlier, we're going to get that for you here next. And then locally, after our network disperses here, we'll have Derek Kramer here on the Overtime Show on our local flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's go back to the locker room and let's hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
James Cook with 3 touchdowns all in the first half. How cool was that?
Awesome. Hat trick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, he's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him, and he got his touchdown down there, the long one, and then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him, and you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
How's the hand?
It's good. Feels great. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you take us through that pass to Ty Johnson on before the James Cook 1 yard run? Like, what happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, motioned him out there. We motioned Khalil across. You know, was feeling some sort of zone. Progressed it right to left, had a little bit of just movement, rolled out right. I saw the deep safety kind of, you know, jump something underneath. I saw Ty one-on-one with a backer. Felt like he kind of slipped inside. I just gave him a catchable ball, and he went up and made a play.
James Cook touchdown catch on that fourth down. Was there patience required to let him get out the flat?
Yeah, he has to find a way there. We had a lot of trust in him there. You know, I messed up the call, you know, before the timeout. Fortunately, called the same play, and they changed the defense to really the defense that we were hoping to get. So it worked out, but can't be taking timeouts on the first drive. But they went zero. You know, I just gave a little eyes right just to hold some people, and knowing that I got the safety off the edge. You know, he's untouched, and just got to trust Jimbo to go get open there, and he did, made a play.
Josh, you went to Dalton two of the first three plays. Was that by design, or just where the ball went?
Just kind of where the ball went. Different options on different pass plays, and obviously want to continue to get him the ball more and get him involved, especially early in the game, you know, and force defenses to really key in on him. So just kind of how it happened.
You heard on the bench tonight, running to the fans. Is that just the way it worked out?
Yeah, hands are okay, though. It didn't fall on the hands. Yeah, it just comes up quick sometimes on the sideline when you throw it 1 inch up from the sideline. So, yeah, head on a swivel over there.
Josh, what's it like, unfortunately, to see Tua go down like that, another quarterback, and in that way?
Yeah, very sad. That's, you know, the worst part of the game. You know, nothing but love and prayers sent into him and his family, and hopefully everyone's sending those because he's going to need them. And, yeah, it's the worst part of the game.
Josh, what can you say about the defense for this team? I mean, they're going through it on that side of the ball with some significant injuries, but to hold that offense to 10 points.
Unbelievable job. And lose TB in the first quarter. Balin comes in. He's the green dot. Makes some plays. J-Mark comes in, makes some plays. You know, you look at the stat sheet. I don't know what our numbers were, but I know we were really low in time of possession, and we were probably really low in total yards, but still managed to put up 31 points, and that means your defense is doing something right. So they had our back tonight, and we're going to need them going forward. And I'm just very proud of how guys stepped up into their roles, and they played together. You know, when you play together like that, you're typically going to have good results.
Josh, going off of that, what does it say about this team on a short week to come out and have that kind of complete performance on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, don't blink mentality. Just drop the football. Let's play. Got a lot of faith in the guys that we have in this room. You know, I think it starts with our pass rush. You know, Von Miller had some. He looked like Von Miller tonight. You know, that's what I told him. I mean, he had one spin move. He didn't get there, but one spin move, that was pretty scary. You know, and Greg Rousseau out there again making plays. Ed Oliver, you name it. You know, those guys are straining each and every play, and they're working together right now, and we're holding up at the back end. So it's good to see.
Two wins in 5 days with a lot of unknowns a week ago at this time. What have you discovered about this offense?
Well, it's still early, but I'm very proud of the guys, how they're handling it. You know, that the everybody eats approach. We're just trying to find the open guy and get everybody involved. But guys are stepping up to the plate, and they're making plays when their numbers are called. So got to keep working. And, again, tonight's a weird one because you get the ball so close to your end zone, three different possessions. You know, it was a fourth down stop. There was two turnovers. We got it over there. So, again, it's not going to be eye-popping numbers on the stat sheet, but when you can put up those type of numbers on the scoreboard, that's all you care about. But, again, as time goes on, there's going to be more opportunity for our guys to go make some plays.
Josh, what can you say about the fans walking off the field with your arms up? That's got to be pretty cool to do that not at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Was there a fan that you told that you had to leave?
Nah.
Did you like the player at all?
Pre-game, I talked to him a little bit. You know, he's love that guy.
That's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. I'm Nate Geary. Thanks for listening here. The Bills win 31-10. They have a 11-day break coming up here before they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars at home on Monday Night Football. So for me, Nate Geary, Zach Jones, we appreciate you. Derek Kramer on our local affiliate here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550 for the Overtime Show is next. This is Buffalo Bills football.